After the disease was declared eliminated in the United States in 2000, measles is back. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control say there were 644 diagnosed cases of the disease in 2014. That's more than in any year since 2000. So far this year, the number is at least 107 after five infants at a Chicago area daycare center, Palatine, Illinois, were diagnosed late last week. According to the New York Times, there's been one diagnosed case of the measles here in Michigan, that in Oakland County, that person has recovered. The spike in measles cases is largely attributed to a rise in the number of unvaccinated people, especially children. Authorities suggest the number of vaccination waivers has risen to a level that makes it a factor. For clarification on measles, vaccinations, and waivers, we welcome two guests. Linda Vale is the Ingham County Medical Director. Welcome back, Linda. And one of Linda Vale's predecessors in that position, Dr. Dean Senko, Associate Dean for Prevention and Public Health at the MSU College of Human Medicine. Dean Senko, good to see you.
Good to see you, Mark.
And belated welcome back to Michigan after some time in Washington, D.C.
Thank you.
Linda Vale, in recent days, we've become more accustomed to hearing about outbreaks of measles. There was the outbreak reported last Friday in suburban Chicago that I just mentioned. There was the case in Oakland County. That person has recovered. How vulnerable is Ingham County to a measles outbreak?
Well, I think you put that in perspective when you start looking at waivers and waiver rates, and the state of Michigan being one of few states in the nation that allows what we refer to as a philosophical waiver, compounding basically the rate. So we have in the United States, in the state of Michigan, the fourth highest waiver rate in the country. And Ingham County within the state of Michigan ranks about 46th amongst 84 health jurisdictions with regard to our waiver rate. So it does put us at quite a risk relative to other states and other counties.
Are you saying philosophical waivers are not that common?
Philosophical waivers are, they are not a nationwide thing. There are many, many states that do not allow a philosophical waiver.
Mm-hmm.
Waivers come for three different reasons: medical, religious, or philosophical. Some states only allow the medical, some states allow the medical and religious.
What's the county's immunization rate overall? What percentage of residents of all ages are immunized?
Well, it varies by the specific immunization. So in general, our young folks, our infants 18 to 36 months, are running around 75 to 80% in terms of vaccinations.
Okay.
In our teens and adolescents, that number turns a little bit different because you're looking at vaccines like HPV and some other vaccines that have some other issues that people, for some reason, don't vaccinate around those. So you have some low rates with regard to those.
Where is measles, though?
Measles is about 94%.
So that's so that's pretty high. Dean Senko, the report, it sounds high compared to certainly to 75 to 80%.
Right.
Dean Senko, the reporting on this has focused on what appears to be the growing rate of families who fail to immunize or choose not to immunize their kids. Is that at the heart of this thing, or are there other factors?
I think it's the heart of this measles outbreak, yes. The majority of cases are among children who have not been properly vaccinated. So that's what's carrying this thing. You mentioned earlier we eliminated measles from the United States, but as these numbers of unvaccinated children grow, you develop pockets of vulnerability in the community. And that's what's sustaining this outbreak presently, is you have sufficient numbers of people across the country who have not been vaccinated. This is a highly contagious disease. When it gets into one of those, like you mentioned, five children in a daycare, that's a pocket of severe vulnerability. Mm-hmm. You get the virus into that community, it's going to spread.
And Susan Land, who keeps track of immunization rates in the Lansing School District, told the Lansing State Journal last week the school district, has a 94% immunization rate, which I take it 6% of the student body are not vaccinated. Is that what that means, Linda?
That does mean that 6% are not vaccinated or have waivers. And that's an overall district rate. If you look at it at the building level, they do vary some. Mm-hmm. So we have some particular school buildings that are more vulnerable than others, either in the Lansing School District or in our other school districts, quite honestly. So,
and is 94% a good rate?
94% really isn't a good rate when you look at measles.
No, okay.
No, it's not.
Now, at the heart of this, our success against contagious disease is this idea that you alluded to a minute ago, Dean, herd immunity. In layperson's terms, talk to us about herd immunity. What does that mean? How does that work?
Well, that means is if you have a substantial percentage of the population immunized, and we're talking here typically in terms of these communicable diseases on the order of greater than 95%. When you reach that level of broad immunity across the population, then chances are you're not going to have outbreaks continue in that population, that they'll be halted because eventually the virus just contacts people who are protected and it can't go further. Mm-hmm. But when you don't have that level of immunity, it's easy for a chain of transmission to continue along and you have more and more cases.
It's like a herd putting a ring of protection around a vulnerable person within the herd. So mm-hmm. those of us that are vaccinated put a ring of protection around those.
Yeah, and that's
those
particularly important, I think, from when you talk about our social obligation to one another, because there are children, as Linda mentioned, who have a medical reason why they cannot be immunized. We need to protect them. I believe that's part of our social obligation.
Dr. Dean Senko is Associate Dean for Prevention and Public Health at the Michigan State University College of Human Medicine. Our other guest this morning, Linda Vail, Ingham County Medical Director. Linda, you suggested 94%. Really, that 94% number really needs to be higher. What percentage of a student body in the thousands of students should be immunized against the measles for you to sleep soundly at night?
Well, as Dr. Senko said, about 95%. Is good. So we're right on the edge here. We're getting in this gray area. Herd immunity thresholds vary by disease based on how contagious they are and how many people might contract the disease from a single person. Measles is one of the most contagious infectious diseases that we know. It can be transmitted from 100 feet away. It can linger in the air for a couple of hours. So, you know, in this room now, we could all leave, and somebody could come back in here an hour from now and catch up that virus from one of us who was in this room.
Measles is getting an awful lot of the attention here. This is the disease that is we've seen a spike in. Are we vulnerable for jumps in other diseases? I do know that measles is part of a vaccine, the measles, mumps, rubella, that would appear to be. I mean, there's three diseases right there that are taken care of by one vaccine. Are we at risk of spikes in other diseases for this same kind of reason?
We are. And one of the ones that comes most to mind to me is pertussis or whooping cough. We have been seeing outbreaks of this. We have been seeing cases of this that could have been prevented. And that's the thing to me is these are preventable illnesses for the most part. If we would fully follow these immunization requirements, these recommendations, we would all be in good shape. But when we fail to do that, we make ourselves vulnerable on an individual level and on a community level. And that's what we can prevent by following these immunization guidelines.
And as worrisome as a development like this may be, we should be clear here. A case of the measles is not an automatic death sentence by any means, even for a vulnerable person. Linda Vail, how often is measles fatal?
Well, as many as one out of every 20 children with measles gets pneumonia, which is one of the most common causes of death as a result of measles. And about one in every 1,000 will get an encephalitis or a swelling of the brain that can lead to convulsions, mental retardation, death, etc. So basically for about every 1,000 who get the measles, one or two will die.
Okay, one or two out of 1,000. Mm-hmm. Who is most at risk here, Dean? Is it young children? Are elderly also at risk? How does that break down?
Typically, the elderly had this as children, so they would be protected for the duration of their life. We're most concerned about young children. We're concerned about kids who can't get immunized because they have some baseline immunocompromising illness that precludes a vaccination. So this is something that we focus mostly on young children. However, we also have, let's say, adolescents and adults who were not immunized. These, you know, perhaps these families who refuse to immunize their children. You get into the adolescent and adult age group, and they come down with a case of measles. The complication rate goes higher.
I would just add to that that also we have a group of people born theoretically after 1957 that may not have had the measles and may have been vaccinated, but vaccinated under a different vaccination schedule. So there's a lot of folks kind of in that category that mm-hmm. could potentially need a booster, right?
Right, right. Mm-hmm. That's important to look at that population roughly born between 57 and 1980. Where we had some changes, some modifications, you had some natural virus activity, you had immunizations starting and occurring. That's a group I think we need to watch carefully as well.
It took some number of years to reach the point where we're hearing about measles outbreaks again. How quickly can we reverse this trend? Is this just a matter of really just immunizing as many people as we can, as quickly as can, and we can get back to, quote, normal pretty quickly, or will it take years to correct this?
You know, I think that given the fact that we are right on that threshold, that herd immunity threshold, which needs to be 94-95% for measles, same for pertussis, lower for some other vaccine-preventable diseases, that if we can get that immunization rate back up 2-3% fairly quickly, then yeah, we are doing a better job.
I agree. I think we could turn this around pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad we're getting the attention that we are on this issue. Because I think if people rethink this a little bit and we get better immunization rates, we can stop this.
Are health authorities considering stronger messaging about vaccinations? Have either of you heard of that? I mean, vaccination rates in the 90% range sounds quite good, but it would seem that whatever messages the public is getting, could they be more effective?
Well, I would say that if we aren't where we ought to be, then we can be more effective at getting there.
Has to be more effective. Okay. Dean, you'd agree?
I do, yes.
Okay. We want to thank our two guests. Linda Vale is Ingham County Medical Director and one of Linda's predecessors in that position. Dr. Dean Senko back in East Lansing after 18 months in Washington, D.C. Dean is Associate Dean for Prevention and Public Health at the Michigan State University College of Medicine. Many thanks for joining us today.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.